from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up next on Forum, it's our annual summer book show. We'll talk about the latest bestsellers, best beach reads, and classics worth revisiting. Maybe you're spending the summer in Naples via Elena Ferrante's novels, or you're surfing vicariously with Barbarian Days author William Finnegan, or trying to make sense of race relations with Ta-Nehisi Coates, author of Between the World and Me. We'll check in with local bookstores about the summer's big literary hits, and we'll open the phones to hear from you. What fiction or nonfiction do you recommend for a summer read? Email us your picks now at forum@kqed.org. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning, and welcome to this morning's Forum program. In this Forum Hour, we continue our venerable tradition of asking you, our listeners, to help us make up a list of your book recommendations, fiction or nonfiction, which we will make available to all on our website later today. So if you have a book you really feel people would benefit by reading, a book that affected you as a reader for whatever reason, let us know, and you can be part of the program and tell us about your selection, one pick per listener, by getting in touch with us now. Let me give you the number to do that. It's 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website at kqed.org/forum. And this is not just an hour for bibliophiles or serious readers, as many of our listeners are. It's an hour that people benefit by tremendously, judging by the past and the comments we've received, helpful in deciding books to buy and books to take out of the library and books that you simply want to spend some of your valuable time with that are worth spending your valuable time with. And indeed, we do invite you to be a participant here. First, we're going to invite Sharon Kotler, who is with us by phone. Cheryl Kotler is a buyer with Copperfields Books. They have 8 stores in Sonoma, Napa, and Marin. And Cheryl Kotler, welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Yes, thank you, Michael. I'm happy to be here.
I guess the place to begin is up there in the North Bay. Are people ripping any books off the shelves particularly that you want to highlight for us?
Oh, yes. We have summer reads, what's called trade paperbacks. People are just loving them. And everything from things that are the sort of cozy or romance or warm-hearted books to things with hard-hitting themes, important informational books.
Will you name some of those books for us?
Sure. For fiction, I love this author, Camilla Shompsey. She's fabulous. She's never written a bad book. And she has a paperback called A God in Every Stone. This is fiction. This is set in right before the beginning of World War I, where a young woman from England goes to Turkey to become an archaeologist. The war starts, the various factions become enemies. She ends up in Afghanistan, and to give a long story a short, brief plot, what you do understand is how your heart can be involved in a culture where your country is, in fact, at war with that culture. Very rich, rich story, very strong characters.
And good storytelling from the sounds of it.
Absolutely fabulous storytelling.
And also, it sounds like the kind of book which takes you places and makes them vivid for you, at least.
Yes, I think it gives you a good background, too, on present-day issues in Afghanistan, Turkey, that sort of thing, and England, frankly, Europe. It's
good historical grounding, yeah.
But historical grounding, very accurate, but reads riveting. You just hang in there with it the entire time.
Well, can you give us another riveting book that you've encountered over this
season? Well, here's
season.
A totally different change. It's called Jade Dragon Mountain by Elsa Hart. And this is actually set in 18th century China. Again, it's an interesting conflict whereby the Jesuits, who have been welcomed by the Chinese, particularly the upper classes, because they bring astronomy and other pieces of information into China, are now being distrusted by people that are jockeying for power. So it's ostensibly a mystery with a really wonderful character that travels from town to town. He's been disgraced. He's a Chinese scholar. but he's invited back in by the higher-ups to solve why there was a Jesuit person murdered. And what you get is Arab storytelling, you get the emperor, you get the conflict of superstition against science.
And you get a murder mystery. Huh?
And you get a murder mystery.
Yeah.
They're really well done.
Wow. Well, Cheryl, I'm much appreciative of those recommendations, and I thank you. In fact, Cheryl Cutler is with us from up in the North Bay. She's a buyer for Copperfields Books, which has 8 stores in Sonoma, Napa, and Marin. And now we'll turn to you, our listeners, and get your selections. And again, we simply want a recommendation here that you think is worthy of recommending. It will go on a list, and the list will be available to all of our listeners. And as I said, this is a valuable service that we like to feel we provide different seasons of the year. Our toll-free number again, and you can join us right now, is 866-733-6786. If you have a book that you particularly feel strong about, passionate about, you want to urge us to read, and it can go back to the classics too, of course, and it can be fiction, nonfiction, children's lit, adolescent lit. We cover the whole broad spectrum, but we do want to hear your recommendations. And again, you can let us know by calling us 866-733-6786 or emailing us forum@kqed.org or going right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and simply click on this segment. And you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum, or go to our Facebook page. Many ways you can let us know what book you particularly want to put your name behind and let people know about. Let me go to another North Bay call. It's Leif, who's joining us from up in Petaluma. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks. The book I wanted to recommend is called Earthquake Storms, and I'm sorry, I'm driving that right now, and I don't recall the author, but it's just a very fascinating scientific history of the slow discovery of the San Andreas Fault, and it's I think any Californian would be fascinated.
And that is the title, Earthquake Storms, yeah?
Yes, and these storms that they talk about, it kind of sounds like one of those disaster movies, but the storms refer to like decades or more of activity, increased activity along the fault.
Great. Thank you for that recommendation, Leif. Good to hear from you. And let's hear from another caller, and that's Margaret in the city. Margaret, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. I would like to recommend a nonfiction book that I read recently. It's called The Fall of the House of Dixie.
And why are you recommending it? I'd like to hear, you know, what propels you to put this list, put this on our list.
Well, I'm not a big reader of nonfiction, and I'm not a big reader of history, but I heard the author interviewed, and he gives a really very readable, very understandable explanation of what the causes of the Civil War were. And this is something that I had never felt I understood, and I feel like now I have a much better, much clearer image of what was going on in that time period of our country. And I've heard other people who read it who are the same as me. We're not big history readers, but we found this one to be right on the level of a person who just reads for pleasure, but can definitely learn something.
Well, since your name is Margaret, I have to ask you, have you ever read Margaret Mitchell's Gone with the Wind, which also gives you a whole sense of the Civil War?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, I did. I read that, you know, as an adolescent long ago. And, it's got a lot of the personal perspective of the characters. But The Fall of the House of Dixie is much more about the big picture of what was really happening in the economy of the North versus the economy of the South and the culture of the South. It tells a lot of the big picture of what the culture was that would lead a civilization to think that war was their only alternative at that point. It gets very much into how Southerners saw the world and their place in the world.
Well, Margaret, thank you for that recommendation. Much obliged to you and all the recommendations that are coming in. Thankful, grateful to your readers. In fact, it makes me think, the title of that book makes me think of The Fall of the House of Usher by Edgar Allan Poe, which is, I always go back to the classics and recommend them. Getting some recommendations online here. Susan says, Susan emails, A Man Called Ove by Frederick Backman. Absolutely delightful, charming, a pure pleasure. Zoe says The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander is so relevant right now. I would agree with that, by the way. It's a terrific book. And Gina recommends All the Light We Cannot See. I've still not read that, but a lot of people love it, by Anthony Doerr. It won the Pulitzer Prize in 2015, and we're going to go to more of your calls. Riley, you're on. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm recommending Away by Amy Bloom. It's an older book, and it is an amazing story of a fierce woman who left Russia at the turn of the century, the 20th century, and then made her way. I won't tell you where the book ends, but I was so inspired by this woman who kept going after tragedy after tragedy.
Huh. So an inspiring book to you.
Yes.
Personally. Thank you for that. That's what we want to hear, not only inspiring books, but books that, you know, there are certain books that can take your breath away, that can really transform you, change you, and alter your soul, inner world. If you have one you want to add to the list here, and maybe even tell us why, you can join us at 866-733-6786 or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. Here's Peter from San Anselmo. Peter, welcome.
Hi. I want to recommend Parrot and Olivier in America by Peter Carey. It's an account, it's a fictional account of de Tocqueville's travels in America. And it's about, I think it's very germane for right now, because it's about the possibilities and limitations of revolution, both personal and national. And it's a stunning book. It broke my heart. It made me wept in the most beautiful way. So I love it. Peter Carey, a great writer.
And again, it's Parrot and Olivier in America. Let's get the title.
That's right.
Thank you so much for that, Peter. We'll take more of your calls in a moment. I wanted to bring Kristen Evans into the mix here. Kristen Evans is owner of Booksmith in San Francisco and buyer for Kepler's in Menlo Park. And Kristen Evans, welcome to the Forum program.
Hi, Michael. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you. So what's hot there in your world?
Well, I heard one of your listeners mention The New Jim Crow. Certainly not a new book, but an important book for the moment. We are recommending another book that's still in hardcover, Evicted, by Matthew Desmond. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
No, tell me about it.
He's a Harvard professor. He spent a year and a half in Milwaukee living amongst the poor and basically documented the number of reasons that people are pushed out of their homes. And it seems like it's a timely book because it brings in the issues of race and class and social injustice. But it also is, you know, very timely for the Bay Area, since we're having our own housing crisis.
Indeed. Anything in the fiction world that you've particularly seen people gravitating toward?
You know, well, this book just came out last week, and I picked it up, and I'm ripping through it. It's Underground Airlines by Ben Winters.
Know nothing about it. Tell me.
It's actually it's in the vein of Margaret Atwood. It imagines a speculative modern day
dystopia.
A dystopia, exactly. The Civil War didn't happen. President Lincoln never became president. And it imagines four states that still are legally allowed to have slavery. And it's a modern day. The slaves are owned by corporations. And it follows a black bounty hunter that's hunting escaped slaves. It's called Underground Airlines.
I think those counter histories, I mean, they show a great deal of imagination. One comes quickly to mind is Philip Roth's The Plot Against America. I don't
exactly.
know if you know it, but yeah, it's a similar type of book. Anything else you particularly want listeners to know about or that they feel they should know about?
Yeah, I'm recommending two books. There was a lot of discussion in the store following the Stanford rape case, and I know you've had Peggy Ornstein on your show. She's written a book called Girls and Sex, and to me it was mind-blowing as a 40-something woman myself to better understand what young women are going through right now in their relationships and how much it's changed in 20 years, you know, with the rise of the Internet and the way that we relate to each other sexually and in our dating lives. I think that book, coupled with Blackout by Sarah Heppala, talks about alcohol and the role that alcohol plays in our relationships. You know, blacking out is different than passing out. where when you pass out, you just essentially are on the floor. But blackouts is when you have long-term memory loss. So you actually have a short-term memory, and you can hold a conversation and be up walking and talking, but you may not remember periods of the night because your alcohol is effectively creating a situation where you can no longer form long-term memories, and so you don't know what you did that evening.
Another important book. And Kristen, thank you so much for those recommendations. It's good to hear from you. Kristen Evans is the owner of Booksmith in San Francisco and buyer for Keplos in Menlo Park. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Michael.
And we're going to have other listeners join us. Here's Saul in Oakland. Go ahead, Saul.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I am recommending Isabel Wilkerson's The Warmth of Other Suns, which is the history of the migration of blacks from the South to other parts of the country. And it reads like a novel, but it gives you all the in-depth history of what were the forces that impelled people to move from the South. And it takes three main characters, one from the 30s, one from the 40s, and one from the 50s, and follows their path, their life. It tells us what was happening in their lives in the different areas of the country, one from Mississippi, Florida, and Louisiana. And in particular, I was interested in the fact that a lot of the Louisiana people moved to Oakland.
You know, we had her on the program, and we actually talked about that specifically, interestingly enough, because it was fascinating to read about all that Louisiana migration to Oakland, or the number who came from Louisiana and settled in Oakland. It's also just a fascinating understanding of why so many African-Americans left the South, because of Jim Crow and segregation and bigotry.
And it does give you the background of all the politics of what was happening in the country,
Yeah. What
was happening in the particular areas of where these people came from, and what was happening in the areas that they moved to New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. And it's really amazingly well written, and even though it's really long, it's very worthwhile reading, I believe.
You know, it's a terrific book, and Saul, appreciate your giving us that recommendation. I really enjoyed the conversation I had with Isabel Wilkerson, the author of that book, both here on Forum and for City Arts and Lectures. I'm looking at some listener comments here. Jose writes, how about the new Harry Potter book coming out? It's called Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and it's written as a play. John says, San Francisco elementary school principal penned Notes from the Playground, an amazing book of short stories. It documents how childhood experiences, especially those that happen on the blacktop, shape who we become. These narratives arise from one principal's epiphany that came as he looked out over 100 children playing, running, laughing, and crying. He went forward with a different vision for how we can, by affirming the child within ourselves and one another, make our lives truer and more vital than we might have imagined. And again, you can add your voice here by emailing us forum@kqed.org or going to our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweeting us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Here's Demetrius, from San Jose. Hi, Demetrius.
Hi. My recommendation is a short science fiction book written in the early 1900s, before World War I, actually. And the name is The Machine Stops. And it is absolutely, positively uncanny about its prediction of the technology of the last 10, 15 years. All the social media, internet, telemedicine. The story is basically about a post-apocalyptic society where humanity has moved underground and is being served by a massive machine, but is totally, as the social media does, has become totally separated and antisocial. And it's what is absolutely phenomenal about it is the details. Facebook is in there, YouTube is in there, Twitter, everything from the last 15, 20 years is in that book.
Boy, a lot of science fiction is predictive, but that sounds, especially given when it was written, almost beyond the pale. And I certainly your enthusiasm for it is infectious as well. This is Ian Forrester you're talking about?
So yes.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember the author.
It's fascinating. I never heard anything about it. Thank you for that, Demetrius. Good to hear from you.
And the book is because the book is so old, it's passed all the copyright laws. And it's actually also available on the Internet. You can just download it. It's about 100 pages.
Wow. Again, I thank you for that. And I thank Stacey for this recommendation. She says online here, I recommend Underground History of American Education by John Taylor Gatto, because we can't understand where we are now without understanding why and how we got here. This book takes a fascinating and shocking look at the compulsory education system. Whether someone ultimately agrees with Gatto's final analysis, one can't argue against his impeccable research. You'll never think of education the same way again. Let's bring on more of your calls. Peter, you're on. Morning.
Good morning, Michael. When I was at the climate summit in Paris back in December, they handed out a book called Climate Gamble, Is the Anti-Nuclear Movement Endangering the Planet? Now, I'm an old anti-nuclear activist, but these two guys, these Finns, have analyzed the prospect of renewable energy getting us past the climate emergency, and it resonates with a press conference held by four climate scientists who said we absolutely need nuclear power, especially new generation nuclear power, to save civilization. And I read this little 99-page book, and it spun my head around. And it's made me wonder whether, say, shutting down Diablo Canyon is really the right thing to do. So I got mine on Amazon, pardon the expression. But it was a $10 book, 99 pages, full of incredibly important information about the risks and benefits of nuclear power at this very critical juncture in the climate emergency.
Did you happen to hear the debate we had on nuclear power when Diablo Canyon made the decision to shut down here on Forum?
I missed that. I'm sorry. I'd love to hear it.
I always am a little bit hesitant to recommend programming because people think it's crowing about what we do, but it's actually important for people to know, because that was really a particularly enlightening hour and very spirited, to put it mildly, and worth finding in our archives. But again, the name of the book, Peter, is Climate Gamble.
Climate Gamble.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Appreciate all of these listener suggestions that are coming in. I ought to mention once more that we'll have a list of them, and we'll tell you how you can make that list available to yourself or whomever you want to make it available to, and make sure that your reading list is chock full for books, throughout the summer, what's left of it, and into the next season as well. We're talking about the summer's best reads, and we want to hear from you. What fiction or nonfiction do you recommend for a great summer read or beyond? You can email us your picks now, forum@kqed.org, or you can join us by phone at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. And we'll continue with this list, which, as I said, will be available to you later on. Another tweet from a listener says, A Still Life with Woodpecker by Tom Robbins, always a good choice. And Mia, another endorsement for The Warmth of Other Suns, the Isabel Wilkerson book. I want to jump in and share The Warmth of Other Suns. Incredibly worth reading. I recommend it and agree wholeheartedly. We'll hear from more of you when we return on Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and we're getting your recommendations for best books for a summer read. Please give us a call and join the program at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also email your book recommendations to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum, and we'll be putting your recommendations on as a list on our website later on today, so they'll be available to all of our listeners, and hope you will avail yourself of that. In the meantime, we're going to avail ourselves of some conversation with Joe Cristiano, who is book buyer for Pegasus Books, an East Bay bookstore. Joe, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Michael.
Morning to you. And I don't know if things are running differently. We heard from the North Bay. We heard from San Francisco in terms of what East Bay readers want to read. But what's doing particularly well in your bookstore?
Well, it really seems like the Europeans have reconquered the novel. Selling hand over fist, Elena Ferrante, Carl Nausgaard, Patrick Modiano, it's as if Americans have never discovered the form. And yeah, I'm selling a lot of fiction and translation, and really selling it, which is quite notable, I think.
Well, that's a whole new phenomenon. European writers, but all of those writers you mentioned have gotten a great deal of attention, which I'm sure has helped propel interest.
Yeah, and I think, but most of this stuff is around here anyway. It's word of mouth. So and apart from that, the New York Review of Books Press is doing a great job of bringing back, you know, overlooked classics into print. And the first thing I want to say is I want to recommend, hand, you know, above anything, that everybody go out and buy a copy of Fat City by Leonard Gardner. He's a local writer. Fat City is one of the most exquisite, heartfelt, honest books you could ever read. He's sort of a one-book author like Harper Lee. And they just recently brought it back into press, and we sold out of our first stack of it. And it's an amazing book. It's about boxers and field workers out in Stockton. And if the subject matter doesn't sound appealing, the quality of the writing, the soul of the book will really sell you.
I'm so glad to hear that recommendation, because I'm familiar with the book, and we, in fact, featured it in our California Reading Series a number of years ago. And I know Leonard. In fact, he has a local connection to San Francisco State.
Yes, indeed.
As I did for many years, and still do. But what else particularly high on your list, Joe?
Well, I think as a literary form, one of the genres that's completely overlooked is plays on the printed page. I don't think people are reading enough plays. They come into the store these days, they're going on vacation, I hear the refrain, nothing too deep. And I think nothing too deep doesn't mean they're afraid of depth. I think they just want to be engaged. They don't want anything that's too ponderous or anything that's too, you know, too much, you know, feels too much like medicine. So one thing I hand people is, like, read a play. The things you get on the page, you get the playwright's stage directions that gets lost in the theater. You get insight. You get the poetry of how they are imagining this world. And right now, I think everybody should run out and get as many of August Wilson's plays, as many plays in the century cycle. This is a 10-play series, one for each decade of the 20th century. And it's about Black life in America, and it's about people trying to find, trying to maintain a sense of dignity and humor and optimism in the face of untold oppression. And that might sound heavy, but August Wilson's characters are some of the most, you know, alive, you know, entertaining, you know, just compelling characters ever created for the stage, and they're just as alive on the page.
This is poetry to my ears, I have to tell you. I mean, I've taught plays as texts for many years and have taught August Wilson. In fact, he was a guest on the Forum program many years ago. I think what you're saying is golden and really ought to be taken very seriously. People will tell you plays are made, you know, written to be performed, and they have a point. But when you see the text, you can learn so much, as you suggested, and there's so much that, you know, that you miss, frankly, just in the performances.
True, and then you become the director of the play. It's like a theater of the mind. Be laying there on the beach, you could be reading, you know, Tennessee Williams, August, you know, whoever. And it really does come alive. And you can knock off one of these in one sitting. You know, you've read a major work of literature in 60 minutes or an hour and a half. And I'm serious. Go through the entire century cycle. It's 10 plays, and they speak to each other. And why these are not available in one omnibus edition right now, I have no idea. But it deserves to be read. It's like the great epic of America, really, not just Black America, but America.
Well, you won't and do I, it in one sitting, but I have to recommend, because it's in a new edition from Yale University Press, Long Day's Journey and Night by Eugene O'Neill.
Indeed.
It's a long time investment for a play, but it is one of the most extraordinary plays ever to come out of any American playwright.
Yeah. And that's one I haven't read, so I'll take that recommendation.
And we'll take your recommendations, Joe. Thank you for those.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
Appreciate that. And here's Jennifer, who writes a lovely little work of fiction, The Little Paris Bookshop by Nina George. It's about an eccentric man who runs a bookshop on a barge in the Seine. He sells his patrons not the books they want, but the books they need. The story morphs into a Huck Finn river adventure and a travelogue. So much fun. Great summer read. Robin recommends Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Society. I just want to crawl inside and live with those characters. And Francis says, I highly recommend The Sleep Revolution by Arianna Huffington. And we will take more of your calls. And we'll go next to Corey. Corey, welcome.
Hi. I wanted to recommend Night Watch by Terry Pratchett. And I say this because, apropos of you talking about Robert Peel and police reform and how he set up the London police, Terry Pratchett really does his historical homework. It is fantasy. It is humor, even. But I wish I could drop this book off at every police station and get everyone to read it. It's as Terry Pratchett is, it's funny, it's fun, but it's like this serious look at history and the relationship between police and citizens, and about, like, just basically, it's almost a manual of how to be a good cop and how riots happen, how riots go out of control, how the individual cop reaches somebody or doesn't, and how things fall apart or don't. And it's hard to explain how that can be funny, but he's a genius at that.
Well, thank you for that recommendation. And Terry, I appreciate hearing from you. It's amazing to me how many of these recommendations have been connected to the news and to things that are going on in the world, which I suppose isn't surprising at all. Here are some recommendations from Cheryl at Book Passage in the Ferry Building, sends in these two, Jackson 1964 and Other Dispatches from 50 Years of Reporting on Race in America. It's Calvin Trillin's reporting, published in The New Yorker, and it underscores certainly how far America has come, how very far we have to go. Readable, touching, impeccably researched journalism. And Cheryl from Book Passage also mentions heartwarming, upbeat novels, Breakfast with Buddha, see parts 2 and 3, Lunch and Dinner by Roland Marullo. An ad exec and a Buddhist monk go on a road trip, Views of America and Subtle Lessons of Buddhism. Charming. Let's hear from more of you by phone. From Walnut Creek, we welcome Mary. Morning.
Good morning. I would like to recommend the book Wild at Heart by Terry Farley. It's a book about the plight of our wild horses and how they are disappearing off the land because of fracking and also the beef industry. It's geared for children, but it's also good for adults. Very informative.
Excellent suggestion. Thank you for that. That's Mary from Walnut Creek. Here's Letitia from San Bruno. Welcome.
Good morning. I am recommending Season of the Witch by David Talbot, who is a local author. And it is just the gripping story. It's a wonderful narrative, the gripping story of San Francisco in the years between 1967 and 1982.
It is, may I say, just for a minute, Letitia, sorry to interrupt you, but a wonderful book, and a book that everybody I know who has read has loved. And we also had David on the show talking about the book.
And for those who lived here during this time, it is filled with details that we probably did not know about, and have a story behind the story. And it's filled with names that we've heard of, but we get to know these, what the circumstances around these people: Jim Jones, Sarah Jane Moore, the Grateful Dead, Janis Joplin, also the Ashbury Free Clinic, the founding of that clinic. It still stands there today. Glide Memorial, all the groups that came together who cared about the children coming from all over the country because they were in search. It's a wonderful book, beautifully written, and you just can't put it down. I highly recommend it.
Well, thank you, and I agree. It's a splendid book, and you described it very well, a lot that's in there. It's amazing to me that David Talbot, who is also the founder of Salon.com, soon after that came out with a book about Alan Dulles and the Dulles family and even the Kennedy assassination and so forth. He's one of our local treasures. Let me bring more of our callers on. Wynn, you're on. Morning.
Hi, good morning. You never know where you're going to get a recommendation. And last month I was at the Stanford Blood Bank, and while the nurse was drawing my blood, she got into a discussion about books. And she's now turned me on to an author who unfortunately died years ago, whose name is Robert Asprin, A-S-P-R-I-N. I've just finished reading one of his books called Another Fine Myth. And it was a little hard to describe for me, but it's kind of like a mythical magician who calls in an ogre from another dimension to help train this young magician. and the magician dies, and the two of them have these great adventures trying to find the person who killed him.
Wow.
It's kind of like Kurt Vonnegut in steroids.
Okay, good description there. Wynn, thank you for that. Good to hear from you this morning. And here's Linda, who emails us, and you can email us forum at kqed.org. I'd like to recommend Once We're Cannibals by Jan Toon. I guess it's pronounced Tunui, or T-U-N-U-I. It's a memoir growing up on the island of Aitutaki in the Cook Islands in the 60s. It's a completely entertaining family story, touching on the larger cultural history as it ingested Western influences, good and bad, with humorous, poignant, and sometimes tragic results. Let me go to more of your calls. Let me go to Sacramento next and welcome Jean. Jean, you're on.
Hello, thank you. I'm recommending The Alphabet That Changed the World by research scientist and physicist Stan Tenen. He lives in Marin. A peer review from Ralph Abraham, PhD, who's a professor of mathematics, says, in the archaeological literature, we find a certain number of anomalies which boggle the conventional scientific mind. These are the current great wonders of the world, the list of usual suspects, including the Great Pyramid of Egypt.
Hmm. Wow.
Mayan calendar and paleolithic cave paintings. To this list, we must now add The Alphabet That Changed the World.
Yeah, there's what's the author's name again, Jean?
Stan Tenen, T-E-N-E-N. He's done this research for the last 40 years, and he's found a code in the alphabet, which all of our communications are based on the alphabet.
Well, thank you for that. It's amazing to me, you know, the recommendations that come from you, our listeners, and are most appreciated and appreciated by those who will indeed avail themselves of this list when we put it on our website later on. You can certainly make another recommendation on our website, kqed.org/forum. Here are a couple. Kathy, this is an email from Kathy. She recommends some fiction. Beautiful Ruins by Jess Walter. In places, his prose took my breath away, reminded me of The World According to Garp and the intertwining and embedding of stories. I happen to read that book, and I would agree that just the prose descriptions are quite extraordinary by themselves. And she recommends a nonfiction book, 1491 by Charles Mann. There were places where I wanted to cry, thinking about the art and innovation lost to the world, poignant and tragic. And here's Harry. Harry, you're on with us. Morning.
Good morning. Hi, I'd like to recommend Sapiens by Dr. Yuval Harari. It's an international bestseller, but hasn't been promoted very well in the United States, although it did make the New York Times bestseller list a couple of weeks. But it's an amazing book because it explains how we got to be human and how culture controls our lives. He's an Oxford PhD teaching at Hebrew University, and it's got universal truths in it that really explain a lot about why we believe things that really aren't true and that we understand are not true.
Harry, can you give us the author and title again, please, Harry?
The title is Sapiens, as in Homo sapiens, except it's just Sapiens.
Yeah.
And it's by Yuval Harari, H-A-R-A-R-I. Truly an amazing nonfiction book that really helps me understand the world around me and kind of navigate it a little bit better.
That's quite a recommendation in itself. Thank you, Harry. Let me get a Sandra recommendation here. Sandra says, Love That Boy by Ron Fournier. It's a nonfiction story about former Washington, D.C.-based AP journalist Ron Fournier, who takes his 12-year-old high-functioning Asperger syndrome son on a tour of presidential homes and libraries and to meet President Obama, Bush II, and Clinton. The book humanizes the presidents and the whole D.C. self-important culture in these interactions. Ron comes to see how much his son has to teach him and us and how parental expectations for their children can get in the way. Fournier comes to wonder if we are all somewhere on the so-called autism spectrum and how the real synonym for happiness is not pleasure, as we might think, but goodness, heartwarming, full of wisdom that sticks with you. And we'll take more of your calls. Eric is with us next. Eric, join us.
Hey there. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi. So the recommendation I have is called Sick in the Head by Judd Apatow, the writer-director. It's conversations about life and comedy, and it's a collection of interviews that he did starting back in the early 80s when he was in high school. He was interviewing amazing names, Albert Brooks and Gary Shandling, Jerry Seinfeld, to name a few, Louis C.K., more recently, Mel Brooks.
Yeah, he wanted desperately to be a comedian, and instead he became a major filmmaker.
He did, but he's back in comedy. You know, I think.
Well, after the Amy Schumer film, he actually got on. He did a comedy stand-up routine on. I think it was Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, one of the two Jimmys. I happen to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. So this book was given to me as a gift, and I
is it funny?
It's hilarious. It's interviews. I mean, it's very. You know, it's personal stories from comedians about comedy and about. I mean, there's a lot about life too. I mean, these people are their husbands and wives and parents, and just amazingly insightful.
The reason I ask if it's funny is because sometimes comedians and people who talk about comedy can be very serious in their approach to it.
I mean, you look at someone like Steve Martin or Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, obviously they are very serious about their craft. But, you know, the anecdotes and the stories and a real look behind the scenes about what comedy was like, you know, 60s, 70s. It goes back, you know, Milton Berle and way back. But it's a wonderful read. Very easy, too, because they're fairly short interviews. You know, you could just read, you know, one or two at a stretch.
Sick in the Head by Judd Apatow. Thank you for that, Eric.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you, and we'll hear from some more in a minute. Let me read a recommendation that's coming to us from Sue online. I'd like to recommend Stephen Saylor's The Seven Wonders, a historical mystery set in 92 BC. It's especially appropriate for this summer because part of the book is set at the Olympic Games in ancient Greece, which may have been safer and better organized than the upcoming Rio Games. Well, there was no Zika. And Sue goes on to say, it's a lot of fun, beautifully written, and as a bonus, you'll learn a lot about the seven wonders of the ancient world. And we'll learn some more from more of our listeners by phone. Dylan, you're on. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So the book I wanted to recommend is by Pema Chodron. She's like a Buddhist teacher and lecturer.
Is it Pema or Pema? Pema Chodron, I thought.
Is it Pema Chodron? Yeah, I'm not sure how to pronounce it properly. But it's called Practicing Peace in Times of War. It's a real short little read. And I just think it's particularly timely, you know, during this election season. And all of the kind of race relations issues that we're having around the country, there's a lot of just great little bits of wisdom in there on how to, like, one, broaden your definition of what war is, and sometimes that's arguments in the household or things in your community even, and then two, to, like, just realize that her main point of the book is that war and peace start in the human heart, and that you can just, you know, there's a lot of really simple ways to understand when those thoughts arise in yourself and in your heart, how to deal with them in a way that's constructive and peaceful instead of letting them take control of you.
So well, she's a leading Buddhist thinker. And again, the book again is in Practicing Peace in a Time of War. Yeah.
In times of war. Yeah.
In times of war. Thank you for that, Dylan. Good to hear from you. I should say just a quick story. I interviewed Pema Chodron along with Jack Kornfield, two leading Buddhist thinkers here in the Bay Area, and all the lights went out, electricity went off, and they said this is a good Buddhist lesson because people were all, you know, kind of chaotic and they wanted to know where they were supposed to be seated and all that sort of thing, and it was one of those very memorable events. Let me bring more of our callers on, though. Robert, thank you for waiting. Join us. You're on.
Oh, hi. This is Robert.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, I didn't know if anybody had mentioned Emma Klein's The Girl yet. It's really an extraordinary book by an author I think is going to be a major voice in America. I've been reading all my life, which is fairly long at this point, and I think her use of language is not only refreshing, but inventive and delicious, and I haven't been so excited about a writer in a long time, so I think anybody who can get a hold of The Girls should.
You know, it's interesting, Robert, because I have not read Emma Klein, but James Woods, who's, you know, a leading literary critic and book reviewer, maybe one of the most leading in the nation, praised that book like I have not seen him write about any book in years. So you're kind of echoing what he was saying. I mean, he was just knocked out by it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's not a perfect book, but I think it's a book that portends an entire new authorial voice for another generation. I'm very excited about what's going to come up with it.
Yeah, thank you for that, Robert. Good to hear from you. Here's Cressida, who writes, Goodbye Stranger by Rebecca Stead is the best book for those in and entering middle school. Like a modern Judy Blume story, Goodbye Stranger deals with the awkwardness of adolescence as well as the modern difficulties of teenage flirting via cell phone and frenemy bullying, a great prompt for parents and teens to discuss those topics. And we'll go to more of your calls. And let's go next to Davis. Sarah, you're on. Morning.
Hello, good morning, Bill. I just wanted to recommend Where the Bear Met the Lion, Afghanistan, 1978 to 92. I've got the honor. I met the author. He's a great man. His name is Dr. Khalil Rahmani. He's been a clinical psychologist for 20 years. And basically, the book is, it relates a lot to today. It's about the rich history of Afghanistan in the Soviet Union time. And this freedom fighter, and his brothers are all fighting against the Soviets. However, he loses his brother to one of the Soviets, and he then goes back into revenge, you know, in the war. And so it's just, it's great, like, it gives you a great rich background of the history, and then it ties in more about the conflicts in Afghanistan and how today they're trying to advance, you know, modernize, and, you know, pursue education and programs. And so it's, I just, like, I've never read a book that was, you know, more realistic as this book. And how,
and you learned a lot, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I learned a lot. So it's a wonderful book to read.
Well, great.
Definitely.
Thank you, Sarah. Good to hear from you. In fact, if you want to learn about Afghanistan, our own local writer, Khalid Husseini, is very instructive and enlightening, to put it mildly. Here's a tweet from Michelle. It says, I recommend The Magic Journey by John Nichols. It's literary trepanation. What does that mean? I'm not sure. It broke my heart. It broke open my head and sent my mind soaring. Trepanation is not a word I know. Mary writes, Frances McDormand reading Armistead Maupin's Tales of the City as a fun listen. Thank you for that, Mary. And here's more of your callers, and we go next to Richmond. Marlene, you're on.
Yes. Thank you so much for the subject. It's so much fun to listen to all the books. One of my very favorite books for our summer read is Alan Brady's a book called Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie. And it's a modern-day Nancy Drew detective stories and series, and it's wonderful. Flavia De Luce is the main character. And
oh, it's not Nancy Drew.
No, it's not Nancy Drew, but it could be. It's a modern, she is a modern-day Nancy Drew.
Ah.
And, of course, reading it from very young age, I love Nancy Drew, and I'm very old, and I still have her in my heart. And this is the best thing, next best thing I've ever read about a wonderful, endearing little girl, very bright, in her young teens, and she is a chemist, and she solves problems, solves all these murders in England, and it's just delightful.
Sounds like high praise to me. If you could put her in the category with Nancy Drew, who is still in your heart, I won't ask how many years, but it's...
Well, I'm 72. My mother said, if you read, you'll never be lonely, and this book is a delight, and all the adults in the neighborhood have read it. We just pass on books, so it's a teenage book for teenagers, but it's so endearing. I highly recommend it.
Well, we thank you for that recommendation, Marlene. It's good to hear from you, and let's get as many of you on as we can. We go next to Danville. Mike, welcome.
Hi. So I'm calling to recommend Homegoing by Yaa Jesse.
Tell us about it. I know nothing about it.
So Yaa's 26 years old. She lives in Berkeley. She went to Stanford, University of Iowa Writing Project. She was born in Ghana. It's a historical fiction that begins in about 1765. Two half-sisters born in West Africa. One is married off to a white Englishman who's there to be part of the slave trade. And her half-sister is sold into slavery. And then the novel follows their descendants across the next two centuries in both Ghana and in this country.
Good synopsis, Mike, and obviously a good recommendation. Thank you so much for that.
It's extraordinary.
I appreciate hearing from you, and we'll go next to Larry. Larry, thanks for waiting. You're on. Larry?
Hi. I want to recommend... hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to recommend Windswept by Mark Villiers. It's a description of the natural history of wind and... in the context of Hurricane Ivan. So discusses pressures and how wind has been discovered, and especially in the context of how it plays in a hurricane and the role it plays today. So very interesting read. Highly recommend it.
You know how to spell the last name of the author?
Villiers, V-I-L-L-I-E-R-S.
Okay, and I thank you for the call, Larry. Good to hear from you. We'll hear from more of our callers while we have time here. Casey, morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Weather to fly.
Weather to fly.
Yeah, weather like W-E-A-T-H-E-R. And the cover says a novel and stories, and that's exactly it. Short stories, and it's just stunning for a new writer.
Who's the writer?
Christopher LeGras.
Oh, you know, somebody did just recently recommended that book to me. So you recommend it strongly, huh?
Absolutely. And you don't have to know anything about flying. It's just, it can be meditative. It can be a couple sitting in the backyard, a plane going over. But it's not, nothing about flying is necessary. But it's just his obvious love of words comes through so strongly. And in fact, a couple of other friends, it's kind of been word of mouth. And they have just been so impressed with the writing. He's a California writer also, and I believe it's his first book.
All right. I thank you for that, and I thank someone for educating me here about trepanning. Trepanning is known as trepanation. It's a surgical intervention in which a hole is drilled or scraped into the human skull, exposing the dura mater to treat health problems related to cranial diseases. It's often used to relieve pressure beneath the surface. Boy, you learn something in this job every day. Thank you for that, whoever sent that from Wikipedia. And thank you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We can make this list available to you later on today. It'll be on our website, so please avail yourself of it. And you can continue online. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Gucci, and Tina Lauerberg. Our engineer today is Jim Bennett. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, and we get online support from Amanda Font. Interns are Brandon Yu and Maxine Sheffer-Wolf. Senior editor is Dan Zoll, and executive producer is Joanne Wallace. I thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this morning's program. For all of us here at KQED, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.